Good morning, and welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. We have a number of announcements this morning. First of all, the ritual of friendship cards in the back of the pews. Please fill those out. Better?
Louder.
Okay. The ritual of friendship cards. Please fill those out, and they are in the back of the pews. There will be no work day on Tuesday. Vacation Bible School, the theme is the Olympics. And meetings will be every Wednesday from 4 to 6. And if you can help prepare decorations, please attend these important Wednesday meetings. And Melissa Glass is the director. And Senior Youth Group will meet today from 2 to 4. Anyone else have any announcements? Reverend Chris has a couple announcements.
Good morning. Just to follow up on that, the youth group, Senior Youth Group meets today at 2. So go home, get yourself some lunch, and then come back here at 2 o'clock. We have a lot of things that we're going to be doing down in the gym, a lot of things to show you. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk about plans to go rafting in June, and then we're going to go down to the Trailside, New Haven Trailside Treats to have frozen yogurt. So bring about $3 for that, unless you were part of the winning team last month, and then the yogurt's on me. So we'll see you all at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock for the senior youth group. Also, camp is coming this summer, and so we want to remember that. We're probably going to have a lot of kids going. I hope that we have a lot of kids going, so we're going to be wanting to replenish our camp fund. So we'll have some information coming about that in the newsletter. All the camps are different weeks, and there are different deadlines. However, there is an early bird deadline, which is May 31st, and that deadline, registration deadline, is for all the camps. And if you register early, you get a discount. And so the church pays half for each camper, but that half is for the early bird amount. So let's just assume that the deadline for registration for all camps is May 31st. Owen, did you have a question? The way I pay for everything of yours, through my own wallet. Okay? Thank you.
Reverend Chris.
Yes.
There will be choir practice this Thursday at 6:45.
6:45 choir practice this Thursday.
Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Thank you. The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our processional hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 72. To God be the glory. Please stand.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ is here among us, more than a memory, more than an influence, more than imagination. For he said, "Lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Let us pray. As the disciples looked upward, tracing the ascension of their Lord, so we look upward today to the heavenly places. We do so acknowledging a reality greater than the material things on earth. We confirm that our ultimate hope is not in the land, the houses, the cash we possess here. We rejoice in the great spiritual forces that are at our work in our world. We celebrate our hope for eternal life, and we anticipate the return of Christ to usher in the end of the age. For it is in his name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Since Christ has ascended into heaven, he has no voice on earth except our voice. He has no arms on earth except our arms. He has no body on earth except our bodies. Let us now function as the body of Christ through our morning offering. Our offertory hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 340, Softly and Tenderly. Thank you.
offerings, we represent Christ reaching out across the globe to meet human needs and offering his message of forgiveness and hope. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture is Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 and 22 through 31, found in your pew Bibles on page 590. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, in the paths, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the sons of men. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the sons of men. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Our anthem this morning is The Wonder of It All, their sanctuary choir.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville this first Sunday after Pentecost. We continue to feel the Spirit's movement throughout the church this past week. Well, at our church, we have two ways of knowing if somebody is coming in. There's a camera at the door that signals that someone is there, and then when they open the door, there's this chime that goes off to let you know that someone came in, which is why earlier this week when I heard footsteps above me and had not heard those two things before, I was a little concerned. And then when I heard doors opening and shutting again, a little concerned, I walked around the church. I told Jesse, I've never been so weirded out in the daylight. Thankfully, this was happening in the daytime. It seemed as if we had a ghost in the church. And when I mentioned this on Facebook, my one friend who I knew would respond said, actually, there's only one ghost in the church. It's the Holy Ghost. Apparently, our church is filled with the Spirit, because as I noticed that this week, in the glow of having six baptisms, we rejoice on that wonderful day. Next week, we have baby dedications, and we had two scheduled, but today someone came to me and said that their child had never been dedicated. Could we add her as well? So next week, we will have three baby dedications, and I'm really looking forward to that. The Spirit continues to move and to work throughout our congregation, and it's a joy that you never know where it will go. So if you're ever in the church and you hear weird sounds, and you think you're alone, remember, it's the Holy Spirit doing its work in our church. We rejoice. We also rejoice on the things that are happening in our community and happening in our church. Graduation this week for the preschoolers taking place here in our congregation. We give thanks for that. Maybe you have some of your own who are there, and we have one of the teachers here with us. We celebrate on this wonderful program for Connellsville Area Preschool. We continue to rejoice at the choir as they rally and perform without their leader so admirably. They do a wonderful job, and we thank them. And we hear continued good news that Wanda is getting better, and soon will be ready to play again and to worship with us again. My uncle also had a surgery on Friday. We've been praying for him. My uncle Donald, who has esophageal cancer. He had part of his esophagus removed and part of his stomach removed, but the surgery went very well. He's at Allegheny General Hospital, and he is recovering. We rejoice with him and his family and pray that all the cancer was removed and that he will be able to eat again soon. My father had an injection in his spine. That's not exactly what you want on your birthday. He had it scheduled for his birthday. Unfortunately, I don't know if he's feeling much better, so we wait to see how long it takes effect and see if he will need to have surgery. He's trying to avoid that if at all possible. I also received news in the same way that you did as you opened your papers on Tuesday and saw in the obituary that our beloved dear friend Harry McDowell went to be with God. 2 weeks ago today, Harry McDowell passed away, and we mourn with his family. Of course, they will miss him greatly. We do rejoice with him, though, because we know that so many people had gone before, his grandson, his son, and his beloved wife, and we rejoice that he is with the Lord and with them, and we know that he was ready, and he was prepared, and his faith was very strong, even until the end. Unfortunately, as we saw in the paper, there will be no funeral, and I'm saddened by that, but we can share our memories with him. And the way that we all knew him and remembered him best, and perhaps that's what he wanted, is for us to remember him the way that we knew him sitting back there behind Dave all those Sundays. What other joys and concerns do we have to share with one another this morning? Who do we want to add to our prayer list or update on our prayer list today? Roxanne?
Well, walking and prancing this morning.
long and days long ago, the priest prayed to Zeus. This past week, I had to pray for Zeus. That's the name of her dog. And so we rejoice that she's doing better. That is good news for you and your family. And we pray for Brandy as she recovers from a spider bite. And pray for the family of Mindy Lubich. Thank you. Deb? We do rejoice that the child's doing better and pray for the aunt. We know that oftentimes the hardest thing to do is to forgive yourself, and we'll pray for that and give thanks for the Women's Conference of Pensacola Baptist. It also would be a good time to note, as I don't know if we've mentioned before, that Disciples Women's Ministry, there's a flyer here in the bulletin between the bathrooms. They will be having their conference coming up soon, and so if you've enjoyed that one, you may also want to look into that. We rejoice whenever people gather in the name of Christ. Are there others? Pray for Don as he recovers for his comfort and healing. Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come to you in this time and this hour, consumed with our own needs and wants and desires. You already know them, and we will lift them to you, but in the meantime, help us to push them aside for a while and to listen to your voice, to listen to your Holy Spirit. Help us to search our hearts for your will, and the ways in which we may serve you. Help us, our ears, to be attuned to your word. Forgive us, Lord, for not seeking your will, but searching for our own. For not bending the knee, but lifting up our own wants. For not acknowledging the truth, but listening to others instead. So we ask you, Lord, to forgive our sins. Help us to forgive those who have trespassed against us, who have sinned against us. For as we would want ourselves to be treated, we should treat others as well. May the grudges be put aside. May the hurts be healed. May the pain be forgotten. That we may grow closer to one another and therefore closer to you. That we may know your reconciling love as it reconciles us to one another. That we may emulate our Lord Jesus Christ, who forgave even those who crucified him. There's nothing therefore that we cannot forgive. And there's nothing therefore that you cannot forgive of us. For even as we forgive others, sometimes it is hardest to forgive ourselves. Help us to move on from our past. Help us to pick up the pieces and try again and to do better this time. In particular, Lord, we lift up the aunt that Deb has mentioned for us, that she may forgive herself for the accident. As we rejoice that her nephew is doing great, and we pray for that entire family. We lift up in the care all those whom we've mentioned this morning. We rejoice for the family of Donald Stillwell that his surgery has gone well. We pray for his recovery and soon return home. We rejoice for all those who are sick and have been made well, for those who have gathered in your name and who have grown closer to you by worshiping together. We rejoice with Harry McDowell, knowing that he is with you and beyond all pain, and yet we mourn for his family and those who have been left behind. Though they had him for over 90 years, still they would have liked more. And that is a testament to his being and his life and his nature. We remember him well, and we rejoice upon the day in which we will get to meet him again and to see him. And all those who have gone before, the saints of our church, the saints of our life, those who have taught us so much, inspired us so much, those who left the biggest hole upon their parting. We rejoice that through your promise of your Son, Jesus Christ, those who were baptized into a death like his will surely be baptized into a resurrection like his as well. And so we share also this comfort with the Lubitsch family on the passing of Mindy. May they also know this truth. May they also know you. We pray these things as your church and as your family, as your gathered community, the congregation gathered together in your name. Help us, Lord, to activate our faith, to continue to pursue it and continue to share it in a manner that is glorifying to you. Not in a way that celebrates ourselves, but celebrates you. Help us also, Lord, to follow you with intensity and devotion, and above all, humility. The humility that comes from those who have been blessed by the Maker of heaven and earth, and who know they are not worthy, and still have been welcomed to your table. The humility that comes from those who are not perfect, but indeed forgiven. May each of us strive to worship you in this way, and follow you in this way, that others may wish to worship and follow you as well. These things we pray together, these things we say together, these things we lift up together through your Holy Spirit, this day and every day. Amen. The children come forward for the junior sermon. How are you today? Good to see you all. School almost over. Pretty excited about that. You know how many days you have to, you're counting down?
One.
One, six and a half. One. You got like four and a half, I think. So you're all pretty much done. You're all pretty much done. Is anybody going to graduate this year?
No.
No, you're not. Although, somebody graduated from preschool to kindergarten. A little mini graduation there. That's not a graduation. You're just moving on up, moving on up. Isn't it great when you complete something, you complete a level, and then you move up to the next level? Yes, Charlie. You have a graduation because you're graduating from preschool to kindergarten. Are you doing that too? Congratulations. As a church, we don't have a preschool here, but we do have a preschool who uses our church for their graduation, and they're going to have it coming up. So graduation is like when you're done with something. Right? It's excellent. It's so exciting to graduate from school and to know that you don't have to go to school anymore. Right? Now, that's not the case for you guys. You don't have to go to preschool anymore, but you're going to kindergarten. So when they're in high school and you graduate, then you're done with high school. And some people then go on to college. Right? And then you graduate from college and eventually you get to a point.
If you want to go to the OU, you have to.
Well, that's what I said. So some do. But eventually you get to the point, where there's no more school. I was going to say, is that exciting for you? Yes. So that means that once you graduate and you know that you no longer have to go to school and you no longer have to go to class, that means that you will never learn again. Right? And you know everything. Is that right? Well, Charlotte, you're giving me mixed messages here. On the one hand, you say you know everything, but then you say... Mommy told you what 4 plus 4 equals? What is it, by the way? You forget. 8. It's 8. Just because you graduate and you don't have to go to school anymore, at some point that will happen for you. You will not have to go to school. You still learn. I remember when I graduated many, many years ago, it was a very nice day, and I was excited because I wasn't going to have to wake up real early in the morning to go to a 9 o'clock class. And I wasn't going to have to write term papers or have tests, but I knew I was still going to learn. And yes, Owen taught me something. I learn every day. Yes, he told me what a fusa was. I don't remember, but he taught me. There's always something to learn. Every single day, you have something to learn. Do you know why? God gives us days, right? And we say there's a saying in the Psalms that says, "This is the day that the Lord has made; I will rejoice and be glad in it." Okay, you should. That's a good way to start your day. Every day. Can you do that? Can you repeat it with me? Let's say it together. Count of three. Okay, wait here. Actually, you know what? Repeat after me. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay, now we're going to say it together really loudly, like we really mean it, on a count of three. One and a two and a one, two, three. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There's a way to sing that. Maybe we'll do that some other time. Every day you have is a gift from God, and you want to make the most of it. And one of the ways you make the most of it is to learn something. Okay? How would you learn if you don't have school? No guesses. No guesses? Your son tells you something. Yes, yes, that's the way to do it. All right, how else? How else do you learn if you don't have class and you don't have test? Could you look it up on the internet? Could you read a book? Could you ask somebody to teach you something? Yes, there's so many ways to learn, okay? Now, you all go to Sunday school? Yeah. When are you going to graduate from Sunday school? When you graduate from high school. That's a good thing. Let's see. Roxanne? Have you graduated from high school? Are you done with Sunday school? You still go to Sunday school? How about that? Let's see. Got to make sure I ask the right people. Jackie, have you graduated from high school? Have you graduated from Sunday school? Do you know why? We have Sunday school classes for all ages, and when we say all ages, we mean it, okay? And the reason is because you never graduate from being a Christian, right? You will graduate from being a student. You might graduate from being a college student. You might graduate from the army or this, that, and the other. There are things that you will do and you'll be done with them, but you'll never be done being a Christian. You know why? Because God gives us days, lots of days. And every day God gives us, we should say, This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yes. Because I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Every day that God gives us, there's something for us to learn. And not just, I mean, like, things to learn about, you know, what the capital of Russia is, or what the temperature is in Montenegro, or what a fuchsia is, right? I don't know, ask this kid. Shh. We want to learn more about God, right? Every day we have, God gives us an opportunity to learn about God. And no matter how old we are, whether we are 9 or 90, there's more to learn, okay? We never graduate from being a Christian, okay? Always, always, always There's more for us to learn and know. Thank you. You can go to your class. Someone once told me long ago that as a preacher, all you can do is point the way to Christ, and you can't really control if they go or not. And what also they should have said is, as a minister, all you can really do is point the way to junior church, but you can't guarantee they're going to go the way you point them to. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, and that's found on page 120 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Where we read. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us!" And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico, called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know when I say to you that the world is full of bad news. We see it all around: oil spills and plane crashes, mine collapses and mudslides, scandals and deaths and accidents and tragedies, wars and rumors of wars. I often look at the front of my paper when I pull it out of the bag that it comes in with trepidation, turn on the computer again, just scanning briefly, hoping not to see any bad news. But oftentimes I do, and I turn away in disgust, and I wish that God would just straighten it all out. God, come and fix all of these problems. I think that's a very common thing that we all experience. Whatever it is that troubles us, we wish that God would fix it. Straighten it out. Make it okay. I seem to recall that Jesus told his disciples before he left them that they would, as he said, receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and indeed to the ends of the earth. Well, here we are at the ends of the earth, at least as far as the disciples knew and believed, at least as far as Jerusalem was concerned. And I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I wish I had this power that Jesus had to offer, that I could just make all things well and right and correct in my eyes. But that's not exactly what Jesus had promised, although maybe on some level that is what his disciples had hoped for. Certainly it was believed that when the Messiah would come, all things would be set to right. And one of the biggest reasons that Jesus, who was Jewish, and who was the Messiah, we believe, which is a Jewish concept, was not followed by most Jewish people. The idea is that when the Messiah came, all would be set right. And Jesus came, and he left, and many things still were wrong. What Jesus promised, however, did come true a short while later, when the disciples gathered in Jerusalem, received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. After being accused of drinking too much new wine, Peter addresses the crowd and interprets the story of Jesus according to the Old Testament. He says to him, look, I'm going to explain to you why Jesus Christ really was the Messiah. And he brings up quotes from the prophets and texts and scriptures that he interprets to say that he was one of them, and to point out to them that they misunderstood exactly what the Messiah was going to do and be and how he was going to look. He's so powerful in his testimony, so eloquent in his speech, that 3,000 people are converted that day. 3,000 baptisms take place in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And we mark that day as the beginning of the church, the birthday of the church. The power that Christ spoke of was the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit was further revealed when the disciple Peter heals a crippled beggar outside of the temple, as we have read today. A week or so has passed since this amazing thing has taken place, the celebration of Pentecost. The city, the surrounding countryside, they are abuzz. What has gone on? And Peter and John therefore head again to the temple, as they have been doing since Jesus left, as he told them to do, to pray in the temple. Of course, what they have done is raises eyebrows. Because when they get to the temple, they heal a man. Now before, they preached, and they explained why Jesus was the Messiah, and they got new converts. And that's one thing, but now, they heal a man. And they had not done that before. Jesus had healed people, but now, the disciples, having been given this power from Christ, they heal a man crippled from birth. And that causes them to be called before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is the council, the religious council that really organized the operations of the temple, as well as a lot of the things that took place in the city of Jerusalem. They had to explain themselves, and Peter acquits himself quite well. Luke, who is writing this account, tells us that the members of the Sanhedrin were impressed by his boldness. And so the disciples then set about creating a new community that shares its possessions and takes care of one another. They attempt to become the living embodiment of a new spirit by creating a new community. When the disciples of Christ, when Alexander Campbell and his father Thomas, when they were looking at how to recreate the church, they wanted to base it on the New Testament. This is what they saw. So they created this simple community in which all took care of one another. And they finish, finally Luke finishes this first section in the book of Acts with another healing. This time, multiple healings outside of the temple. One healing causes word to spread, which leads to many more. All of this seeks to show the power that Jesus promised to his disciples. The power of the Holy Spirit and what it can do. Most of Acts is taken up with preaching, but they wanted to show the healing as well and make it prominent to show that it wasn't just the territory of Jesus. Now, the Gospel of Luke, it culminated in the temple with the trial and crucifixion of Jesus Christ before moving off to the road to Emmaus in the town of Bethany. And now the book of Acts, also written by Luke, it returns to the temple. Only this time the action takes place outside of it. It is the first step of the gospel away from the walls and the buildings of national religion. Because really that's what happens. Everything before happens in the temple. The religious life of the community is in the temple. In the same way that we might see it as in the church. But we recognize that the power of God extends far beyond the walls of any building. And that was a relatively new concept at the time. Of course, God existed in all times and places, but especially God was present in the temple. But now the disciples are taking it out, taking it to the streets, taking it to the world. Both acts of healing take place very near the temple, though. It hasn't gone very far away from the temple. The first is one at the temple gates called the Beautiful Gate. While the second happens, the group healing takes place at Solomon's Portico, a complex adjacent to the temple. So we're really just a stone's throw from the temple in all of these stories. Now imagine being the only hospital in town and someone opens an alternative medicine establishment across the street, or really being the only doctor in town and a faith healer or a spiritual healer opens up a practice just down the street. Imagine having the only theater in town, and someone is playing their guitar on the street corner right across the way, and drawing a larger crowd than you. shocking scene, a surprising scene, you can understand how it might upset the authorities of the day, especially the religious authorities of the time. God was clearly doing something new. And whenever something new happens, it can be disturbing to what has been. Acts tells us that a man lame from birth was being carried in and asked Peter and John for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us. I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you." Alms is basically money, but it's more than that. It's a spiritual sacrifice, a spiritual requirement to give to the poor, to give to those in need. So it's not just quite the same thing as a person on a street corner asking for money, but saying essentially, please do your spiritual duty, your religious obligation, and give to me, a person in need. And Peter says, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give to you." And the man may be thinking, oh, okay, something really great here. But could he have possibly bargained for what he got? What did he give him? He gave him healing. He says, "Stand up and walk." And he takes the man's right hand and he helps him up. And for the first time, this man is able to walk. Immediately, his feet and his ankles are made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. There are so many wonderful things about this story. A man healed, a man getting more than he ever imagined, a man whose friends were so concerned for him that they helped to lower him down. I mean, think of the lengths that they went to get him into the presence of these two disciples. But let's remember that in the end, the man did not get what he wanted. What did he ask for? Money. What did he get? The ability to walk. Now, I want to tell you about a movie that is very, very funny that I love called Monty Python and the Life of Brian, which is a movie that takes place at the same time as Jesus' birth. It's about a man who was born at the same time, and his life as he grows up happens along the same ways, and there's a lot of things that are very similar that happen, but always a little bit goofy. And one of the things, one of my favorite scenes is this man who is standing near the temple, and as Brian walks by, says, "Alms for an ex-leper. Please, sir, alms for an ex-leper." And Brian walked past him, as often they do, because there's so many people asking for money that he just begins to ignore him. But he stops for a second and he said, "Wait a minute, did you say ex-leper?" And the man said, "Yes." He said that he was cured by Jesus Christ, and he said, "I didn't even ask him. He just came by and he cured me." And the man was very angry about this. He's very angry about this because how is he going to get alms now? How is he going to get his money now? I mention this to you because a lot of times we do not get what we want, we get something better, and we still complain. We ask God for this, God gives us that, which is better, but we can only focus on this. Now, in the story we've read today, in the Bible, this man was grateful. He jumps up with joy, as he should. What a wonderful gift he has been given. He got far more than he bargained for, and he is grateful. There was once a time when God saw our world lying like a cripple, broken, and unable to get up. And God had something that he could not keep to himself, his own life and love and mercy and grace. That's not exactly what the world was asking for. The world was asking for God to come and fix wars and suffering and tragedy and starvation, pain and sorrow. But God gave them a baby to love and a man to follow. God gave the world a spirit to dwell with them in their own wretched and crippled body, but would make them leap and praise and walk again. And oftentimes the world has seen this gift and has decided it would be better to be crippled. Because what God has asked, what God has given, also comes with something to be asked. God has given us this gift, but has asked us to use it to better our lives and to better the world. We ask God to come and fix all the bad things we see in the news, and God says, "I will give you the Spirit that will help you fix it." And not just you, but me, and others, and indeed the whole world. You know, as I said, the world is full of bad news, but that's not everywhere, and that is not all. There is good news happening. There are people being restored to wholeness and celebrating and leaping and praising. And I have done before what I call a good news sermon, and I'm going to do it again. The last Sunday, my last Sunday before I go on sabbatical is going to be June 12th, and I'm going to preach a good news sermon, a sermon that is, as we've done before, only good news that's happening in the world. And as before, I'm going to need your help. Please send me, message me, drop me off good news things that you read in the paper, or you see on the internet or on your TV. Let me know. Because it is true that oftentimes as human beings we focus too much on the broken and the hurt. Not that we shouldn't, because of course if we don't, we can't make it better. But also we can get so focused on the bad and we get discouraged and we don't see the good. So I'm going to preach a good news sermon in June. But for now, let me leave you with this good news. A man comes to get money and gets much more than he bargained for. He gets healed and then he becomes a convert. And who knows how many people with his leaping and jumping and being happy at what God has done for him. Who knows how many converts he makes. He sees the beauty in his gifts and he cannot be contained. His joy cannot be contained. We want good news. We want God to do a great thing in this world. Sometimes we forget that God has already done the greatest thing in this world that could be done. For God has forgiven us. And God will forgive us. And God has sent His Son to be with us. And left His Spirit to dwell with us. It's not exactly what we wanted, but I tell you, it is more than we bargained for. Because we ask God to fix the world, but God tells us, you fix it, and I will help. You can do it. But God will help. God will heal our sin-sick soul, and then we will have seen the light. We can begin to love our enemies and treat others as we would be treated, and to forgive those who have hurt us, even as we would be forgiven. And not only that, we will begin to set the world straight. It might inspire others to turn to God and ask for forgiveness themselves. So we pray to God for many things. The only thing that we can be sure, that we are guaranteed that we will receive, is forgiveness, mercy, and grace. And these are the greatest things of all. What will we do with this gift? Will we take it for granted and curse the other things in our world which are not fixed? Will we say to God, God, you forgave my sins, but what I wanted was a better job. God, you healed my sin-sick soul, but what I wanted was for the Penguins to win tonight. God, you gave me everlasting love and the promise of eternity within your gates. But really, God, what I wanted was the lottery. Come on. Will that be the way that we live, or will we see that once we have been given the greatest gift of all, there is nothing more that we need? Will we begin to use this gift to fix some things ourselves? Following Jesus was certainly a lot more than his disciples had bargained for. And they wanted, they expected a lot, but they did not expect to have their lives threatened, perhaps. They did not expect to be afraid of the very people he came to save. They did not expect that he would allow himself to be crucified upon a cross, and then, in the worst moment, say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But once they understood that God had called them to something greater than an earthly kingdom, God had called them to the heavenly kingdom, once they understood that God had called them to something greater than simply to feed the people a fish, but instead to feed them the bread of life, then the disciples began their work fully and completely. And what they did was far greater than any of them could have imagined before. We follow Jesus Christ thinking it will be nice to go to church on Sunday and we find ourselves helping people that we never knew. Maybe even people who are sometimes hard to help. Listening to people bear their pain even when we ourselves are hurting. Or worst of all, we might find ourselves forgiving people that we never thought we would ever be able to forgive. Certainly Christ gives us more than we could bargain for. But that is very, very good. Because the things that human beings want are often so very small. God always sees the universal, the timeless, the eternal. We want now, but God gives us the eternal kingdom. It is so much more than we bargain for. It is so much more than we deserve. But that is the God that we worship and the God who loves us. Therefore, how can our joy be contained? How can we do anything else but to leave church every Sunday leaping and filled with joy that our Lord is so generous, so gracious, and so generous to us? Let us do the same to others. Let us share in this joy. Let us share in this love. Let us give others more than they bargain for. Let us give them the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 73 in the Chalice Hymnal. There is a wideness in God's mercy. This has been an interesting couple weeks in my family. First, as I've mentioned before, my uncle Donald, who really I've spent my entire life calling Uncle Bubby. I can't, it's strange to even say that. Tomorrow I'm going to call the hospital and I'm going to have to remember to ask the room number for Donald Stillwell, not Bubby Stillwell. He, of course, he had surgery and it went well, but it's still very scary when you're dealing with cancer. And my father has been dealing with this back pain forever, and I don't know if the injection has helped. He may have to still have surgery. And my mother has to get her knee done. And then my other uncle, my dad's other brother, he had a lot of problems as well. He was in the hospital. And my mother-in-law went to the doctor and thought perhaps she might have to have a hip replacement. So a lot of stuff is going on that is not good as far as health is concerned in our family. And it makes you understand and take serious the fact that at some point in your life, your health is not always going to be there. My dad's a very strong man, and he has worked really hard all his life. He hasn't taken care of his body, but for the longest time, he didn't have to. And now he's getting older, and it's getting harder and harder to do things. And there are times in our life when that is impossible to think about. And at the same time, there will always come a time when we can't do what we thought we would be able to do before. There will come a time when our dependence upon other people will be very,
made very clear to us, and that will be dependence upon our family members and our loved ones, perhaps on our growing children, our dependence upon doctors and nurses, and especially our dependence upon God. We like to think of ourselves as very strong people, hardworking people, talented, capable people, and in many levels we are. But of course, one, we cannot save ourselves, and two, we cannot live forever. Now, I mention this to you not to bring you down or to ruin your day, but simply to get us all to understand that we are dependent upon our Lord. And the sooner we understand that, the better our life will be. Because when we come to those moments when we need God, we don't want to talk to God as if a stranger. We don't want to have to go to God, someone that we've never really spoken to before and we're not really comfortable speaking to, and we don't even really know how to speak to when our time comes and our time of need, because the time of need will come for each and every one of us. And I've been at many, many people's bedsides before surgeries, and I can tell you, without doubt, that the people who have been speaking to God all their lives, or at least for a long time, are much more peaceful going into a surgery than those who have not. We believe in a God of healing, but we also know that all the people that Jesus Christ healed, as far as we can tell, are with him in heaven now. We believe in a God who saves us and loves us and calls us to eternity. And we are entirely dependent upon his grace. There are moments in our lives in which we would like to put that out of our mind, but let that not be here at this table. At this table especially, let us acknowledge that truth and give thanks. Not so much that we are weak, but that God is so strong and so loving and so good. And there is nothing that God can't take us through. So let us share in this meal this morning. Let us give thanks for this gift, but above all, let us go to God and continue the conversation that we need to begin and to have every week and indeed every day that the Lord has given us, that we may rejoice and make the most in it. Now this morning, let us pray.
Our Father in heaven, as we gather here to worship you, let us never forget our beloved soldiers and veterans who through their service and sacrifice have kept us free to do so. And likewise, as we partake of these emblems, the bread and the cup, let this be our weekly reminder of the sacrifice of your beloved Son and our Savior, Jesus. He died on the cross so that our sins would be forgiven. The only stipulation is that we are to believe in him and live life as he has taught us via the written word. Amen.
For I hand unto you, it was also handed unto me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord or Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 687 in the Chalice Hymnal. In Christ there is no east or west. Let us stand as we sing. Bow our heads for the benediction. Go forth with confidence and hope, because God's love has been poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us and for us. Amen.